revelation.
I'm an American, I have rights.
Do you know that if is the middle word in life? If you can keep your head when all about you losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you. I mean, I know, I can't, I'm a little man.
Google me, bitch! Google me!
Hey everybody, welcome to the podcast. This is a late edition. Revelation in the news, meaning in media. Welcome. It is April 1st, 2024. It's Monday. It's time for the Sunday review of the mainstream media. I got to make it quick. I got a lot of stuff going on today and a lot of headlines to go over. So we will get into the headlines in just a minute. From the Sunday New York Times, a newspaper that continually mischaracterizes the facts to mislead the public. But also I'll be showing a clip from CBS Face the Nation, where Mike Turner, House Intelligence Committee Chair, Representative Mike Turner, tells establishment douchebag and fill-in host Ed O'Keefe that there is a chaos caucus that wants to stop everything. And then he refers to people in the House, representatives of American voters, as rebels and as the Chaos Caucus. Rebels. And what else did he refer to them as? Radicals. Rebels and radicals in the Congress that are trying to stick up for what their electorate wants. So we're going to be looking into that. Also, there was a segment on CBS Sunday Morning Propaganda with Hillary Clinton, who was trying to keep her political persona alive, pushing the new Broadway show, Suffs, speaking about the suffragette movement, and that was actually insufferable. I don't want to nauseate you with that, though, with Hillary Clinton. So I'm not going to air that clip. But we are going to get into the breaking news from the New York Times from Sunday right now. So first up here, we have the Middle East crisis. If you hadn't heard yet, this is breaking news. Airstrike in Damascus kills several top Iranian commanders, Iranian media says, but in their headline, they don't go as far. The New York Times doesn't go as far as saying that it was an Israeli airstrike. So Israel is widening the war, and that should be considered by most being a very scary thing, considering we're marching or sleepwalking right towards World War III. At this point, I want to ask you to don't forget, engage the channel, like, subscribe, leave a comment, and share the podcast. So let's get into the headline. Let's keep getting into the headlines here from the Sunday New York Times. This is a big one too, and this is what I don't understand, is China advancing efforts to influence the U.S. election raise alarms. Well, we do know that China has been involved mostly in hacking and infiltrating the U.S. government, and they have been influencing elections more than any other country, but we were supposed to believe that it was Russia that was supporting Donald Trump. Now they're trying to explain to us that it's actually China that is supporting Donald Trump. China has adopted some of the same misinformation tactics that Russia used ahead of the 2016 election, researchers and government officials say. But apparently they didn't use them in the 2020 election. Why was that? There was no election interference in the 2020 election? Apparently not. So this article continues on to say, that the covert Chinese accounts are masquerading online as American supporters of former President Donald Trump, promoting conspiracy theories, stoking domestic divisions, and attacking President Biden ahead of the election in November, according to researchers and government officials. Now, we're supposed to believe now that it's the Chinese communists who Trump was hard on, unlike Joe Biden. Even Joe Biden had to keep some of the same tariffs that were working against China and actually bankrupting China that Donald Trump put in. That was one of the only policies that Joe Biden kept from the Trump administration. So we're supposed to believe now that the communist Chinese are supporting Donald Trump. Okay, and so the article continues, the accounts signal a potential tactical shift in how Beijing aims to influence American politics, with more of a willingness to target specific candidates and parties, including Mr. Biden. Again, so we're supposed to believe Biden, who's soft on China and is friends with China, who dealt with China, whose son got billions of dollars from China, that those same Chinese are working for Donald Trump and attacking Joe Biden. Now, that's not even a reasonable thing to believe. In an echo of Russia's influence campaign before the 2016 election, which was proven to be false, mind you, the article goes on to say, China appears to be trying to harness partisan divisions to undermine the Biden administration policies, despite recent efforts by the two countries to lower the temperature in their relations. Right, so the Biden administration, which was dealing with China and trying to calm things down, now China, the communist Chinese, who the Democrats favor, socialists, that they're supposed to, and don't forget that President Joe Biden is the corporate candidate, and the corporations love communist China, but no, they're attacking Joe Biden to mimic a tactic that was used by the Russians that was proved to be false. That the only thing they could find was several Facebook accounts linked to Russians, not even to the Russian government, linked to Russians. Really quite ridiculous for us to believe such things. So we're going to go on to more headlines here. Thousands of mourners attend funeral of NYPD officer on Long Island. The killing of Officer Jonathan Diller, who was shot in the line of duty, has become a political flashpoint because the Republicans are trying to get hard on crime while the Democrats and the socialists and people like George Soros are hiring district attorneys that are soft on crime. And soft on crime causes recidivism. Recidivism ends up with somebody like this person who had been arrested 20 times, ended up shooting a young father of a one-year-old, a police officer. So we're going to try to move fairly quickly now. This article goes on to say, this is the funny thing with this article is that they barely mention, not until the very last paragraph, that Governor Hochul came in. She wanted to meet with a family, so she got there with her security detail, whatever, went right to the office, right to the doors of the funeral home, and she was going to barge in, and they told her to wait because the family was in a private viewing with an open casket. And so after 5 minutes, she barged in, and the family was forced to, and the funeral director was forced to quickly close the coffin, and it cut the private viewing of the family short, and the family supposedly even told Kathy Hochul to leave. She could stay for the service, but she was told to leave, that they didn't want to talk to her because they were in the middle of a private viewing of their deceased son. So the New York Times finally goes on, there was a glimpse of the politicization surrounding Officer Diller's killing when reports emerged from at least one news outlet claiming, mind you, that Governor Kathy Hochul had been asked to leave the wake for the officer she had attended on Friday. That's not true. She, as I said, she barged into a private viewing. At an Easter-related event in Albany on Saturday, Ms. Holchel said that no one had told her to leave the wake. No, nobody told her to leave the wake. First of all, it was a funeral service, wasn't a wake. And the fact is that the family was in a private viewing before the funeral and that she barged in. She said her team had asked Officer Diller's family if she would be welcome to attend. I said prayers at the casket and was very respectful during the wake or the funeral, whatever. So we're going to need to, I'm going to need to speed things up a little bit. So we're going to go more into the headlines here. Baltimore investigation turns to ship's deadly mechanical failure. The Dolly reported a power blackout and steering problems before hitting the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. But what went wrong so far has not been explained. Of course it is, because it's a hack. And what they're trying to do, and they even changed the headline here online from what it said in the newspaper, was what caused the ship's blackout? Question mark. Generators and fuel are set or may hold a clue, but, and the whole article goes on to say just minutes before the cargo ship Dolly was sent to glide under Baltimore's Francis Scott Key Bridge, the ship's alarm began to blare and then the lights went out. First of all, what happened is if you track the exact route of the ship, it steered right towards the pylon and then lost power. The complete blackout reported by the pilot is hard to explain in today's shipping world, in which large commercial vessels now operate with a range of automation, computerized monitoring, and built-in redundancies and backup systems designed to avert such a calamity. But if they're hacked, that wouldn't happen. And not till the very end of the article, as usual with the New York Times, yet another expert say that there are also reasons to doubt contaminated fuel scenario. New fuels typically undergo testing. Duplicate filtration systems can help clean out problematic components that were not flagged in testing. No reports have emerged of other ships having a problem from the same batch of fuel. Maritime engineers say an electrical chain reaction could have also caused all the generators to shut down. What would cause that? Would it be a hack? Perhaps. But no one talks about that. When one generator fails, it also causes a situation in which there's too much demand for too much electricity. And in the last paragraph, they say, the modernization of the ships may have introduced other ways vessels can fail. They have increasingly depended on computers that can be hacked to monitor for troubles and take down action when a problem is identified. In some ways, this is a built-in layer of automatic protection. If one component gets overloaded, it can automatically shut down to prevent further damage, but those shutdowns can cause problems of their own. I could not rule out that some computer failure shut off all the valves off or shut off pumps that provide fuel, said somebody, an expert. Moving on, the headlines of Russian defectors killing raises specter of hit squads, the death of Spain, of Maxim Kuzminov, a pilot who delivered a helicopter and secret documents to Ukraine, has raised fears that the Kremlin is again targeting its enemies. So apparently somebody, a helicopter pilot, military helicopter pilot, a Russian military helicopter pilot, stole a helicopter and delivered secret documents to Ukraine, and then that person ended up dead. And the fingerprints all point to Russia, but other people could have arranged for this transfer of secret documents to take place and then killed him, like the CIA, and then left the fingerprints, what they've been trying to do with Russia all along. I'm not a defender of Russia. I'm just saying that the CIA could have killed this person. Also in the headlines from the New York Times, can we engineer our way out of the climate crisis? Then they go on to say in this article, researchers studying ways to block some of the sun's radiation. And then they add a bunch of other stuff. They are hatching plans to build giant parasols in space. But in the headline in the newspaper, they talked about aerosol spraying, which is atmospheric aerosol injection, AAI, which even the former CIA director John Brennan talked about it as his favorite way to stop climate change, is they're talking about dimming the sun. And then they go into all these other things about sucking CO2 out of the atmosphere. That should be healthy. And then there talks about their plan. The Biden administration is spending $1.2 billion to build 30 plants that are supposed to suck out carbon dioxide. And I also want to get in, before I got into the opinion pieces, wanted to show this, some of the headlines here. Trump blasphemous Bible thumper, and we'll get to that. American religion in 2050. Trump's third act, American gangster. And this is just typical of the New York Times Sunday op-ed pieces. Can Beyonce save Biden by undermining country music? That why I added that last part. Putin's next escalation is coming. Of course it is. Not. And then how AI chatbots become political. And I want to get into that headline. New Jersey has a lesson for New York's housing crisis. AI-generated garbage is polluting our culture. Biden's economic successes are political challenge. Now, I'm just looking at this too, is that, and then they go on to say, the persistent threat of abortion to abortion rights, which abortion isn't even a right, but right next to it, it says, the rising nuclear threat, which is the real threat. Then it goes on to say, do screens actually help children learn? No, they don't. Elite college admissions have turned students into brands. And so I'm going to go into some other articles here. Work is mostly work, not your soapbox. Expressing political views nonstop at the office can backfire. And this is basically about a Generation Z person that goes off about strong views of in favor of anti-racism, anti-capitalism, anti-establishment, which isn't the same thing, and anti-colonialism. These views are not necessarily the issue, and in some cases are well aligned with the organizational value. But this person has been alienating colleagues because of how she communicates about these views. She sends strongly worded emails, shares unsolicited links to resources and posts, signs in break areas that align with her views. She can come off as self-righteous, judgmental, and sometimes naive. All Gen Zers who support all this nonsense. So she has been indoctrinated in college. She can come off. Folks will sometimes walk away from interactions with her feelings, uninformed and stupid. This is her first job post-higher education, of course. And then it goes on to say, it's like, if people have been working in the field for a while, you know how to share your personal political views, which have no place in the workplace. You don't just blanketly tell people that because they've all been turned into activists. And then it goes on to say the peace sign can't stand a chance for younger generation. The once powerful protest symbol packs about as much punch as a smiley face. And then it goes on to say, while the Christian cross, Islamic star and crescent, and the Jewish Star of David and their copyrighted, vigorously litigated corporate equivalents, Swishes, Apples, and Targets may prove resilient, a dizzying mix of familiar and newly minted graphic devices are now compete for a dwindling attention. All I wanted to go on here is to say the peace sign, first of all, is the death rune. It is the tree of life turned upside down with a circle around it. It's the death rune. So it really doesn't mean peace at all. It's only for ignorant fools who don't know anything about symbology that it's a peace sign. When will country... I got to this article. This is from the newspaper. I took it out of the replica edition. The point it says is the pop superstar, and this is about Beyonce, is the pop superstar new album, Cowboy Carter, is an extension of our exploration of how black creativity fuels all corners of art. And then, of course, they have to go, the country's roots are actually black. And then she goes on to say, or the article goes on to say, and only in the subhead in the printed edition, she is embracing the music, not the industry. And even in the replica edition, that's wrong, because in the newspaper it says she is embracing the music, not the genre. Beyonce's country is America, every bit of it. And then it goes on, I don't want to go into it, prompted reminders of country's obscured black roots, which is debatable, first of all, like the African origins of the banjo. Okay, but not all country music has banjo. and the genre's long cross-pollination with the blues, but it's not the blues. The blues, yes, have definitely a black roots, but country music does not. Actually, country music is more, the roots of country more music is are more aligned to bluegrass, which is white, which is from the white hillbillies in Appalachia. And it's historical exclusion of non-white performers, despite a handful of exceptions. Well, why is there exclusion if there are exceptions? Like Martell and Charlie Pride. And more recently, obviously, most people know Darius Rucker. Excuse me. And then I told you that they had this whole thing on some Sunday morning about the Suffs, which is about the suffragettes, which is fine to have a Broadway play about that. But one of the producers is Hillary Clinton. And so this whole piece on Sunday morning, half of it was about Hillary Clinton trying to stay politically relevant. And then now we're going to go to Mike Turner, the Rhino, House Intelligence Chairman, who keeps pushing the Ukraine war, who nobody fucking wants. So we're going to go to that video right now, if I can get it to play correctly, okay?
President Trump this past week unveiled what he calls the God Bless the USA Bible, which not only has the words of scripture in it, but also the text of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights.
You know, I haven't really seen that. I've heard some people talk about it. I think I'm more concerned about the White House restricting the ability of children to put religious symbols on Easter eggs for the Easter egg roll at the White House. You know, I'm glad that CBS gives people the right to express their religious freedom. I can't imagine that we're certainly in a situation where the Biden White House is restricting, especially that of children, their ability to express their religious freedoms.
Okay, but you wouldn't buy a copy of this Trump Bible, would you? Speaker Johnson plans to hold a vote on funding for Ukraine aid when Congress returns a week from tomorrow. Is that still the plan?
This is authoritarianism versus democracy.
What?
That just the brutality that is occurring.
Is it going to have overwhelming support from fellow Republicans? Or are you going to have to make tweaks to the legislation as currently written to either include loans that Ukraine would have to pay back or potentially tuck in something regarding border security to get across the line?
And I've loved kids jumping on my lap.
But I think overall, we're going to get a package that is going to be negotiated with the Senate and the White House.
What?
So that we have a bill that the president can sign.
Will whatever gets done pass?
The CIA director, the Secretary of Defense, everybody has made it clear that we are at a critical juncture.
Outright treason.
Our European allies are saying that Putin's goal is a war beyond Ukraine with Europe. We need to stop him in Ukraine. But we've not seen significant losses of territory on the battleground in Ukraine itself. We certainly see it strained. We've seen a lack of ammunition. We've seen even rationing of ammunition. We need to give them a longer range weapon system. The White House has been hesitant to do so. Congress has called for that.
What?
President Zelensky has called for that. What this would do is...
longer range missiles that the president has said is at least for now a step too far because it could provoke Russia into...
It's the ATACMS. It's the ATACMS. And I think it's long range, 300 kilometer, it's a kilometer ATACMS. Those, I think the administration is on the verge of being willing. Majority of members of the House, a majority of members of the Senate, including over the 60 votes that are needed, and a willing president.
When the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundation of our republic.
You think the speaker's willing to put his job on the line in order to get this done? Because he is facing some threats from fellow Republicans.
Yeah, of course. Of course, you know, unfortunately, the Chaos Caucus has continued to want to stop everything that occurs in Congress.
What?
It's not as if they have an alternative plan. They're just against those things that are necessary and that we're doing. This is necessary for national security. Hakeem Jeffries, minority leader for Democrats, has made it absolutely clear that he will not join with rebels in the Republican side to take down Speaker Johnson on this. And I think we're certainly going to see broad support in Congress to get this job done. And it shows that we can have radical fringes, even radical individuals who don't really have an ideology or an agenda other than chaos.
What?
That can cause disruptions. And that's what we have seen. That certainly makes it difficult for people who just want to get the job done. In the area of national security, I think Speaker Johnson's made it, you know, very clear that we have his support to get national security agenda items done, and I think we will.
The God Bless the USA Bible.
Yeah, well, there goes that rhino, Mike Turner, who was trying to sell us the Ukraine war again. And can't you see that it's not the congressmen, the Chaos Caucus, or the rebels, or the radicals? There's nothing to do with it. They are representatives in the House that are representing the electorate of people. And most Americans are not supporting Ukraine and that want to support Ukraine. Most Americans don't want a war, whether it's in Gaza or the Middle East or it's in Ukraine. It should be settled peacefully, but, you know, it only seems like Trump wants to do that. And I'm sorry I didn't pull up this article. I just want to go over it really quick before I break. Is this was how AI chatbots became political. And it had to deal with this scientist who put together a right-wing chat, an AI chat bot, a right-wing and a left-wing AI chat bot. But they had a chart, several charts that have to do with the political compass and the Nolan chart, which is the way most politically astute people judge the political scale of where you are in the political spectrum. And it shows this is the left and libertarian, you could say. But the majority of chatbots that have been produced are all on the left. You have one here. It shows them all on the left. You have one here. It's more on the libertarian left, but still on the left. Here on the left. So they have four different charts, one Nolan chart and three political compass spectrums. They're all on the left. They show them on the libertarian left, but definitely on the left. They don't show anyone on the right. The only right was the right-wing ChatGPT that this professor created to make it look like, look, and he programmed it. So there's no one on the right. First of all, there's no one on the right in tech, probably purposely, but there's no one on the right that's producing a chat bot that creates things with a political point of view. It's all coming from the left. So I'm sorry I didn't have this how AI chatbot becomes political. Let's see if I can. Well, it's not working. So excuse me for that. All right, that's it for me today. It was kind of a thrown together thing last minute. I tried to put together an episode. Like I said, I have a lot of personal fires trying to put out and things I'm trying to put together. So probably we'll be back live tomorrow at 11 a.m. We'll have to see. I'll have an episode up at some point, but I'm not sure when that'll be. So, like I said, look into that article about political chatbots. I'm sorry I didn't have it up, but maybe I'll bring it to you tomorrow. So thanks for joining me today. Don't forget to like, subscribe, leave a comment, share the podcast, and I will see you tomorrow.
I'm an American. I have rights.
You can't handle the truth.
I can't. I'm a little man. I'm a little man.
Google me, bitch! Google me!
The New World Order.